Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Tremendous players for us. Matt and Trey, both guys who know how to make big plays. But, you know, Terrell Dotson and Cam Lewis came up and they stepped up and they played well for us. So for us, we just got to find a way to do it, man. I know myself, I tried to make some big plays and let Tannehill escape late. I got to figure out a way just to rush cleaner, more efficient, so that way I don't let him scramble around in that pocket and extend those plays on those third downs, because I know those third downs are huge for us, because we could honestly shorten the field and help out Josh in that high-powered offense. So I think for us, it's not so much of who's out there, because we know the kind of talent we have on our defense. It's just about coming out here and executing, and a lot cleaner, especially for me.
Jerry Hughes, after the game, in good self-assessment, way to be self-critical there. I agree with him. It's something I've said today here in the Extra Point Show, and I appreciate him, you know, like recognizing he has to find a more efficient way to rush. I thought he took too many inside routes yesterday, got caught. He got sealed off on the edge because of that, and that allowed Tannehill to scramble. But again, I mean, Jerry Hughes knows what he's doing, and he watches film, and he's very good at. From what I know of Jerry Hughes, and I've been around him for a long time now, you know, covering the team, he's very good at studying his opponent individually and as a team, and I think he comes up with a good plan on how to attack, and I just think that yesterday, that plan just didn't come to fruition, and it wasn't good for the Buffalo Bills overall, but not just him, obviously. He had the soundbite, that's why I'm talking about him. 803-0550, 888-550-2550. It is the Extra Point Show here on WGR Sports Radio 550. It's a Wednesday. We'll get you through this for the next 50 minutes, and then we're going to take you to One Bills Live, and that will be Chris Brown and Steve Tasker. We'll have Shopin the Bulldog at 3. Sean McDermott will meet the media today via Zoom at 4 p.m. We'll hear from both coordinators after. It's kind of like a normal Monday, day after game in that regard. And Eric Wood will join Shopin the Bulldog, and I believe that is scheduled right now for 5:30. So keep it here. It's not a Buffalo football Monday. It's kind of a Buffalo football Wednesday, I guess, even though that's not the official title. I think I'll call it that. So let's go out to Nick in South Carolina as we go forward here. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Steph. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. I just wanted to point out maybe a stat of the day.
Okay.
The Bills have won victory over a playoff team in the last 28 meetings over two seasons. So with that being said, Pittsburgh, Chiefs, Patriots twice, Seahawks. That's 10-6. That puts us on a collision course for Patriots three times this year out. Would you be happy with that to end the season? First round out against Patriots?
No, but I don't think that – but that's not what it means. I mean, anything can happen. I think the Rams are going to make the playoffs. They beat them. I think the Raiders could. There's seven teams that make it the way they look. That could be two there. I mean, it's a stat. You're right. I just don't think it has anything at all relevant to be with the 2020 Buffalo Bills.
We just need to start beating these teams somehow.
But they did. They beat the Rams. They beat the Raiders. They lost to the Titans.
I don't know. We'll see what happens. But, I mean, Josh Allen's playing great. It's the defense, a lot of injuries. Everything's fine. If we put up 31, we're good.
Hey, listen, Jeremy made a great point today, and I agree with him. He said, this is the way we've always wanted to win, and I'd rather win this way and have a chance. At least if I know my team can score 30, which they didn't last night. I get it. That the way to beat the Bills, then the other team's got to have to score a lot more. They'd rather win that way than saying, hey, we have to hold this other team down to 20 because we have no other chance. And this is the preferred model and the better way to win. you have an offense that gives you a chance. Now, again, they did not score enough last night. I recognize that, of course, right? But I think they have a good offense and they have a good quarterback and they're going to be okay from that standpoint. But I don't care about how many playoff teams they've beaten in the last 2 years. I'm sorry. No disrespect to your stat, which is an interesting stat, has nothing at all of relevance to do with the 2020 Buffalo Bills, who've already beaten two teams who very well could be in the playoffs. Let's go to Chance in Alabama. Hi, Chance. What's up?
Hey, what's up, Al?
I'm good. Go.
Good. A couple comments, and I'll just listen to your reply.
Mm-hmm.
First, on the 4th and 19, why are the safeties? It looked like they were playing at least 3 or 4.
You mean 3rd and 19? I don't remember a 4th.
Sorry, 3rd and
19. Yep.
Excuse me. Why are they playing so far behind the first down marker? And also,
I have to go back and look, and I have to tell you, I don't know where they were playing, but my inclination would be on 3rd and 19, you're just keeping everything in front of you. Now, I don't know exactly where they were playing. If you say they were down behind the marker, that's a long way. That's 20 yards. Are you sure they were behind the first down marker? I mean, maybe.
Both safeties were playing past the first.
Gotcha. Marker. Well, I mean, I think the idea there is, in any 3rd and long situation, just to keep everything in front of you. Let them catch it and go make the tackle.
Right, I get that for maybe one of the safeties, but, you know, when you got corners that are struggling, you know, and it's 19 yards.
Is that the play they beat Taron Johnson on the slant?
Yes.
Exactly. Yeah, I mean, that's on Taron Johnson. He's got to be better. And I don't know, maybe he felt he had help, but your point is well taken. I just know that a lot of times that's just the way you want to go about it. You don't want to give up anything over the top. You want to keep everything in front, and the Titans made a good play, and they beat Taron Johnson.
Okay, and two more quick things. Ed Oliver. You know, I like Svalutule, and I keep hearing the drum being beaten that we miss him. But, mm-hmm. I mean, Ed Oliver is a top 10 pick.
Yep.
He's got to do some more. I mean, this is what, second year, right?
Yep.
I mean, there's other guys in this, I think it's, what's his name, Brian Burns, something like that. He's tearing it up.
No, I don't disagree. I think Ed Oliver has to play better than he has. He has not taken that step, for sure.
Yeah, he's just not noticeable. And that goes to my third comment, you know, Brandon Bean's got a lot of praise for what he's done, but he's made a few mistakes here lately. Ed Oliver, I don't want to call him a mistake yet, but that guy that went a few spots ahead is really good.
Well, he went a few spots ahead, though, right?
I mean, a few spots after, right? Or was it?
Right.
I think it was after. Either way,
go ahead. What other mistakes, though?
Yeah, and Wyatt Teller. He is looking like one of the best young guards in the league, and you traded him for...
You know what? I'll tell you what, though. I like Wyatt Teller. I think he's having a nice season. There's no doubt about that. I'm not ready to go there. I like John Feliciano, too. Is Wyatt Teller going to play over John Feliciano when he's healthy? Because I have a few Browns fan friends, and I actually posed this question to them last week, which is interesting, Chance. I said, did the Bills make a mistake? And my Browns fan friends said... No, he's a nice player, but the Bills are fine in what they did and why they did it. I don't think that's a mistake. I wouldn't chalk that up to a mistake by Brandon Bean.
Okay, well, I guess that's to be continued. But I guess the other thing is, you know, letting Phillips walk out the door, who I think led our team in sacks last year, and keeping Trent Murphy for $7 million. I'm pretty sure we could have got Phillips for that. Also signing Mario Addison and Jerry Hughes, aging defensive ends. And they're looking at, especially Hughes. He has lost a step.
I don't agree. I think, in fact, there were some analytics that said through the first 3 weeks he was winning at a better rate than anybody in the league one on one.
I don't think he's had a sack this year.
Yeah, but I know. But that's not how you measure that all the time.
Okay.
And by the way, Jordan Phillips. I'm just looking over his salary here. He signed contract value. $10 million per year. So you said you don't think he would have got that money? He got way more than that.
No, I'm saying we could have kept...
No, you couldn't. He's going to sign for $10 million in Arizona. He's not staying in Buffalo for $7 million.
No, well, I mean, it's only $3 million more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, only $3 million. Come on, man.
You could.
Jordan Phillips is not signing in Buffalo for $7 million when he can get $10 million on the open market.
Well, I know, but I'm saying you could have just paid an extra $3 million, maybe not sign a Quentin Spain, maybe not sign that kid from Pittsburgh, AJ Klein, who's doing nothing.
I mean, if not caring about value is okay with you, then fine, but you have to care about value. You put value on players. Do you think Jordan Phillips is worth $10 million a year? It's not about where else you get it. I'm not paying him that money.
Well, I don't think Trent Murphy's worth that.
That's a different argument. I agree with that. He's already under contract. He's on your team. But I'm not paying Jordan Phillips $10 million.
Okay. All right. One last thing. The returner.
Go real quick.
the returner, one last thing. I would love to know the stats on this. When you're, he's a good punt returner, but on kickoffs, I would love to know the stat on the odds of getting past the 25-yard line as compared to going.
It's about the same. I really don't know. It's not. It's minimal. But he's a good punt returner, and he didn't have a good game last night. There's no doubt about that. And I'm the biggest Andre Roberts, I guess, you know, fan you'd find in a sense of, you know, pushing back on people who don't think he deserves a roster spot. I do, but he was not good last night. There's no doubt about that. Tony in the Falls. Hi, Tony. Tony, you're on the air, buddy. Are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Go ahead, bud.
I think they need a defensive end type of guy with a lot of speed, a young guy like Bruce Smith was.
That'd be great to get Bruce Smith. He was a Hall of Famer, first-round pick overall. They're not walking around on the street, though.
No, but or a guy, I mean, I know we'll never get him, but like a J.J. Watt type of guy.
That'd be great, too. They don't grow on trees. You know that.
Well,
I mean, and you're going to have to be picking really high to get guys like that generally. And the way the Bills are trending right now, they're not going to be doing that. I'd love to have those guys, too, but they're not really easy to find. Ryan in Batavia. Hi, Ryan.
What's up, Sal? I love the show, brother.
Thank you. Thank you for calling.
Hey, man, do you know how many of the Titans had COVID?
They had 8 players on the COVID reserve list before last night's game, after all the guys that kind of – they had 6, because I think they had 8, and then they reactivated 2 of them, and then 3 more in the practice squad. So I guess between 6 and 10, somewhere in there?
Did any of those guys start last
night? No, if they're on the reserve COVID list, they can't play. If they were activated and played, that means they cleared all the protocols and they didn't have it anymore.
So nobody who's gotten coronavirus played last night.
That's not what I said. No, guys who were on the list. Here's what happens. Here's how it works. Okay, maybe this will help you, Ryan. Maybe I'm not explaining it right. If you get the virus, you get put on what's called the reserve COVID list, and then you have to clear testing and protocols to go back to play with your team. They had, at one point, a bunch of guys, like let's say I think 12 or 13 guys on the list who had it. Several of those guys cleared, did not have it anymore, and they did play. Some of them were still on the list because they haven't cleared yet.
I asked who had it that played last night.
Well, who had it in the past or who had it while they played?
No, who had it in the past that played?
Oh, I guess a few guys. I'm not sure exactly what players, but that's going on in the league. There's been what, 50 guys, let's say, in the league who've had it on the list. I mean, Dane Jackson had it for the Buffalo Bills early in the season. He played last night. He was on the field. He was dressed. I mean, because he passed all the protocols to come back.
Yeah. Well, how long are those protocols?
Oh, my God. What is your point? What's your point? I don't know what your point is. You can keep asking me. You can look all this stuff up. They have to have 2 tests, negative tests, separated by a 24-hour period at least. Plus, they have to be asymptomatic for a certain amount of days. What is your point?
I don't know. It doesn't seem like it's affecting them too much. Maybe, I don't know. It's just going to keep happening. Those guys had 14 days off.
No, that's not how it works. It's not the same rules as the regular society. I'm sorry. I just don't get it. I don't know what you're trying to get to here. Are you telling me that they shouldn't have played because they could infect people? Are you telling me that COVID has no bearing on how someone performs? I don't know what your point was there, so I'm really sorry. I just didn't get it. John in Vegas. Hi, John, you're up.
Hey, Sal. Thanks so much for taking my call, man. You are the best by far, man.
I try. I get frustrated sometimes when I get called like that. I don't know what he wanted. I don't know what he's trying to say. I'm sorry.
hey, Sal, I'm really concerned about the defensive line and the backups for our linebacker. I just feel like over the last, you know, the last 2 seasons, we were much better. And I don't even think we had the depth that we do now. What is with the regression from our defense? And is Leslie Frazier not doing some of the same things scheme-wise as he was doing in the previous 2 years? Just seems like we're just taking a little bit of a step back in those areas. And I'm just concerned.
Well, I think there's a few things happening, right, John? I think things that we've talked about a lot today, which are, you know, they're not playing well up front. They don't have a space-eating defensive tackle like they did in Star Lotulelei. They missed Jordan Phillips' penetration, but I think those go hand in hand. If you get the space-eater, then maybe you have Ed Oliver, who's becoming more the penetrator.
Yeah.
That also impacts how the linebackers are playing, because now they can't run as free as normal, and if they can't run as free as normal, you know, they're going to be chasing plays down, and I don't think they blitz a lot, you know, and I don't know if you can when you can't when you have guys that have to cover, you know, in the back end, that maybe you have to flood your coverage zones a little more with them, with the linebackers, to give those guys help because you're without Tre'Davious White and Levi Wallace. I think it's just such a big puzzle, you know?
And so I agree with that, but now in you know, it seemed like they were, you know, we tried to focus so much on the run in the beginning of the game, and we realized, okay, well, Brown was killing us in the back end. Maybe, I don't know, is it more of a linebacking thing there, or is it more of we're just not getting enough pressure on the offense?
I don't think they're getting enough pressure. Let's be honest, John. They were without Tre'Davious White. They were without Matt Milano. They're very good coverage players. Tre'Davious obviously in a position that covers Milano, a linebacker. They're without Levi Wallace, who I think can be a good player. He's not. I know he's had his struggles at times. They had to have Josh Norman as their number one corner and a kid who's never ever taken a snap in an NFL game as their number two corner last night.
Right.
That's going to impact anybody.
Sal, thank you so much for taking my call, man. I really appreciate you.
No, thank you, man. Stay safe out there in Vegas, buddy.
You too, man.
Okay, thank you. I appreciate it. I mean, I'm not making an excuse. It's true. I don't care who you are, what team you are. You take your number one corner off the field and your number, I guess, two, one and a half, I don't know. I mean, two and a half, whatever it is you want to call Levi Wallace. You got to put a guy in Josh Norman, who we still don't know if he is, and right now it's not trending right in the right way. We don't know exactly what he is coming back from what he was the last few years. He becomes your number one corner. Cam Lewis had never played a snap in the NFL on defense until last night. He had played special teams a couple of times when he got brought up to the roster earlier in the year. Never played a snap last year, was on the practice squad. The first snap of his NFL career, he tackled Derrick Henry. Welcome to the NFL, kid. I actually thought he played okay overall, but that's your number two corner. I mean, I don't care what team you are. That's going to impact you. It does not mask and it does not make up for, excuse, all of the other issues going on defense. There is no doubt. But defensive football, the way this team is built especially, this is not a team made up of, you know, as someone put it, a J.J. Watt on one side and, you know, Ray Lewis manning the middle of the field. Like, the Bills have good players. They are not based. Their defense is not based on Hall of Fame talent at different positions. You know what their defense is based on? Everyone kind of collectively doing a really good job and being smart and in their right position. And as Sean McDermott would say, 111th. And when you have a guy like Tre'Davious White out, a guy like Matt Milano out, and you have to have a Josh Norman as your number one corner, and you have to have a Cam Lewis as your number two corner, it's just going to really impact everything. And then Terrell Dodson having to fill in for Matt Milano. I like Terrell Dodson. He's not Matt Milano. Maybe someday he can be like that. This is the reality of sports, no matter what team you root for. And again, not an excuse, but it certainly contributes. They should have played better last night. They did not play better. The guys who were on the field should have played better. But the guys who are on the field can also not be expected to give you the exact same of what you're going to get from those guys they were filling in for. I don't care about next man up. Yes, next man up needs to do his job. It doesn't make the next man up suddenly doesn't have Superman powers to be as good as Tre'Davious White. It just doesn't happen that way. Nate in New York City. Hey, Nate, what's up? You're on WGR.
Hey, Sal. Good to talk to you, man. Always great to hear your opinions. A couple of comments on the offense and then basically a question about the defense.
Okay.
And you pretty much have just answered it. I'm a huge fan of Josh Allen, and I'm not one of these top haters. But I will say, last night, he was proven because really what I saw was a lot of inaccuracy. I saw a lot of ball behind that first interception was behind Andre. The one that knocks, you know, he missed, it was way above his head. He had a long one to Davis that he threw behind him. And I don't know if it was something about the rush, and maybe I can turn this into a question.
Yeah.
They were showing a lot of zone coverage, and the Bills countered on offense with a lot of 10 personnel. And I'm wondering if maybe not having a tight end on the line was making Josh rush a little bit. They just looked out of sync.
I think they looked out of sync all over the place. I think all your points on Josh Allen are valid. I don't know why they didn't get Cole Beasley involved in the first half. I mean, that to me is a puzzler, because to me, after everything you described, that's Cole Beasley time. That's a time where you get a guy who can just, you know, get in the middle of the field, find a spot, sit down in the zone, be able to hit him. And it just never seemed that way. You know what I think really happened last night in a lot of ways was, Nate, I think The Bills are a really good, attacking, aggressive football team, especially early in games. Look at all the games they played, how well they've attacked early in the game. I think the Titans frustrated them, and I think Josh was a little frustrated, and I think that caused everybody to be a little bit off.
Yeah. But again, you answered it already. We were top five defense last couple of years.
Nate, I think I'm losing you on the phone call, buddy. So, sorry about that. Thanks for calling. I know you've called before. Thanks, and call me again next week. I think I'm doing two shows again next week, Monday and Tuesday. Monday, normal extra point. Tuesday, extra point, day after Chiefs game on Monday at 5 p.m.
That's correct.
You know it. We are doing that. So we'll be here again two times. We got a half hour left on this one, a couple more segments, a lot more phone calls on the way because I know some of you still want to get in and get your thoughts on the Bills. Loss to the Titans last night, 42-16 here on the Extra Point Show.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
It's a game of taking care of the football. I think we all have stuff to learn from this one. There's no easy way to look at it, and you can't point fingers except for yourself. Do your job. I know there's plenty of plays I'd like back from that game. And if we want to take the next step as a team, we're going to have to look internally at what we can all do better. It's one of those things where it's not panic, but there's definitely a sense of urgency to get this stuff fixed and go from there.
Mitch Morse, Bill Center. I like the song, Everybody Wants to Rule the World, because you do. And when your team plays like yesterday, you ain't ruling the world, so you get real mad and upset and frustrated, and you call the Extra Point Show, which I appreciate. Let's take a look at our Extra Point from the sidelines. It's a deeper look at something that happened in the game. Brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Don't have much for you on this other than I did notice that at the end of the game when Josh Allen came out and Matt Barkley went in just to, you know, give Matt some reps and say, okay, that's it, we're shutting this down, that Josh was going down the line and, you know, still talking with his teammates and high-fiving and, you know, shaking hands and encouraging them. And I think that kind of stuff is important. Hey, we had a bad night tonight. Let's go. You know, and still being a leader. I believe stuff like that is important. I'm not telling you it's going to matter to a win or loss. I think people need that, though. Other, you know, teammates to see their quarterback doing that, who is on the really wrong end of a really tough loss and didn't play particularly well himself. Not horrible. Like I said, Josh did not play horrible yesterday. He wasn't the reason they lost, but he didn't have his best stuff either. Gets taken out, down 42-16, end of the game. The backup goes in, and he walks up and down the sideline, you know, letting guys know, hey, let's go. It's okay. So that is what I noticed from the sidelines. Brought to you by Catholic Health, the right way to care. Al in Buffalo. Hi, Al. You're on WGR. Al, did I lose you? Oh, Al hung up. Al, if you didn't hang up, I don't think I did that. I think that was, looks like, I don't think I messed that up, Al, but if I did, you can always call back. Matthew in Pennsylvania. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Sal. I just want to talk a little bit about Tremaine Edmonds and Matt Milano long-term as far as the Bills plan to do with him. Tremaine Edmonds, is his contract next year, that it, after this season, do they have to pick up his fifth-year option?
They do. So what happens is, after this year, by May of next year, the Bills will have to decide on picking up Tremaine and Josh's fifth-year option, but that isn't for the following year. The fifth-year option would then be for 2022, because they'd still be under contract for 2021 regardless.
Now, the reason I ask that is because Milano is a free agent, unrestricted.
Yes, in March he is, yes.
Yeah, so I'm looking at some of these contracts are given out. Like Zach Cunningham just got down in Houston, just got a 4-year, $58 million contract. So I don't know if that's going to be too rich for our blood, if that is Matt Milano's range or not. But if it was my choice, the way things are shaking out with Edmonds, he just seems to be slow to diagnose and gets caught inside. And I don't know if it's he just seems to play small for his size for a middle linebacker. I don't know if he's playing out of position or he would be better suited on the outside. I understand why they want him in the middle because of his size, but he just seems to play small for his size.
You're not the first person to bring all of these issues up. I think they're very valid concerns. There's been a lot of people who've wondered if maybe he should be playing on the outside. You know where his true position is to me is 3-4 inside linebacker. You know what I mean? But the Bills don't run a 3-4. And therefore he's not in the middle, but he's still inside. But 4-3 outside, will linebacker, weak side, where Matt Milano kind of plays, I don't know, even strong side, maybe there could be an argument for that. I'm on board with what you're thinking. I just don't know, to put it the way you did, if what Milano's going to command on the open market is going to be too rich for their blood. Because in a vacuum, if you had to decide which one to pay, you might very well choose Matt Milano. I just don't know if that's going to be too much for them, on top of the fact that he has had some injury concerns and he hasn't been as available as you'd love.
They decided to do that. They'd at least have Edmonds for one more year. To,
right.
You know, if they declined his fifth-year option, and they have one more year at a reasonable cost to try to ascertain what they want to do with him long-term, and they still have Milano back. And like you said, it's tough because they want to run a lot of nickel, so it's a lot of two with a passing league. It's a lot of two linebackers in the defense. So what are you going to do with Edmonds and Milano? Milano's not going to play middle linebacker. He's too small. He'll have the same problem getting caught up in the wash.
And here's the other thing I will tell you, though. I wonder if they believe, and this could be a valid thought, but they may believe that the way they run their defense, that it's not worth paying a linebacker the money that Milano might get, a $12 or $13 million a year contract, if that's what he gets, and he might, because it's more about the sum than it is the parts, you know? And then the other part I'll bring up is, I like so far what I've seen from Terrell Dodson. Maybe Terrell Dodson could be some sort of answer here in some way, shape, or form.
You think he could take over?
I don't know. I don't know if he could take over either guy. All I'm telling you is I like what I've seen from him. I know they really like him. He can play all three spots.
I agree, Sal. I like Dodson, too. I think he should maybe try to get some more snaps over A.J. Klein.
Oh, yeah, for sure about that. And he did yesterday, and that was a good thing. Good call. You're not the first person to suggest these things. I like the way you're thinking.
All right, Sal, I'll let you go.
All right, thank you. I appreciate it. Yeah, I just want to run to a couple other callers before we head on out and do a couple other things here. If you want, you can still call in. I got time for a few more here, but let's get to Paul, who's here local in Amherst. Hi, Paul.
Hi, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I guess the previous caller's already touched on this, but my question was, again, about Tremaine Edmonds. I remember during the draft process, some teams did view him as like a pass rushing outside linebacker. Do you think the Bills would ever consider moving him?
No, I don't think he's a pass rushing outside linebacker. I think the difference is here. He's kind of a tweener is what he is, all right, because you're not going to put his hand on the ground and have him rush the passer. If you want to have him standing up on the strong side and rushing the passer, I think you could do that once in a while. But I don't think that plays to really where he belongs, which is trying to go a little bit sideline to sideline and things like that, right? So I think you're kind of putting him in a little bit more of a box there. It's a tough call. And again, I'll go back to it. I believe his true position in the NFL is a 3-4 inside linebacker. He's not outside, but he's not in the middle. You know what I mean? But they don't run a 3-4.
Okay. So, I guess your opinion, do you think he's regressed at all? I mean, this is his third year, and it doesn't look like he's improving.
He hasn't. He's maybe plateaued. I don't know how much the injuries impacted him from the shoulder injury, but here's what I really think, Paul. I think Tremaine Edmonds can be really good when he's kept clean, and he just hasn't been as much this year because the defensive line is not keeping guys clean like they used to and like they did last year.
Yeah, I agree with that.
So I think that's what's going on. And the way that the previous caller said it, like sometimes he plays small, I think the reason why he's saying that is kind of piggybacking on what I'm saying, which is he is a really big guy. He's a specimen there. But he seems to get swallowed up sometimes when he has to take on a bigger offensive lineman. And that's not good. I don't want to take Tremaine Edmonds off the field at all. I also don't think he should replace Matt Milano, right? That's who your outside linebacker is. And they play a lot of nickel. Now, they did play a little base last night. They had three linebackers on the field. I don't know if there's a right solution here other than hoping Tremaine Edmonds plays better. Kevin is up next on WGR. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing?
I'm good. Go.
Yeah, I was calling in because I was just watching the D-line, and I was just saying I don't want to isolate him in particular, but I was watching Ed Oliver, and I'm not seeing, like, when he came out in the draft, and he had a lot of height with him as a physical specimen and things of that nature, but all of those things that I heard coming out, and I'm not seeing it translate onto the field. I mean,
well, he was never viewed as a physical specimen. He was always actually the opposite. What the people said was he was undersized and fast and athletic, and that's really what his strength is in the NFL.
Right.
But I agree with you. Your overall point is he's making little impact, and that is true. And this goes back to, and I don't know how much you've listened to the show today, Kevin. We've touched on this a little bit, and I think what's happening is he doesn't have a space eater next to him to allow him to be able to do the things that he would normally be able to do to penetrate. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I never thought I would say, but, man, I guess we do miss Tyler Stoubier.
You and a lot of people, man. I think that people are saying that all the time now. They're like, I never thought I'd miss Star, but I miss Star. And I think it goes a little beyond that. It's not this clear and cut, but you're right. And, look, I mean, that's you never know what you have until it's gone, right? Isn't that the saying, Kevin? And that's, I think, a case here.
You're not lying there.
All right, buddy. Thanks. Thanks for the phone call.
Likewise.
All right. We are going to take a timeout. When I come back, we will wrap up the show. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to literally and figuratively, I have to do this on the camera now. You have to see. Okay? But literally and figuratively turn the page to next week. That's what I'm going to do when I come back. We're going to start talking about next week. We are going to take this game. It is now 11:43. It will be noon when I'm out of here. And we're going to take this game. We're going to throw it away and forget about it. I'm done talking about it. As of this break, I'm done talking about this game. I'm going to start looking ahead to next week, week number 6 in the NFL, the Kansas City Chiefs at the Buffalo Bills, but also what else to look forward to in the NFL in week number 6, and we'll kind of go through the schedule next week because there were some changes, and we'll lay it all out for you when we come back next on the Extra Point Show.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, here we go. Let's take a look at week number 6. And should I hear this music? I want to sound like Chris Berman. Okay, I can't really do it like him. No one circles them. Okay, we can do. I'll do that. Right? Come up with some nicknames. People's names. What would be a good one for you? He does the nicknames with people's names, right? Like, You know what I'm talking about? He uses people's actual names to come up with nicknames. Like Butch Oil and Weiniger, right?
Yes.
Pretty cool, right? What would be a good one for you? To think of one for you. To come up with one. I'm not really,
really
sure.
Wouldn't be able to tell. There's a few that you could have for
Sal.
Him.
For me, for sure. No doubt about it. All right, let's look ahead to week number 6 in the NFL. We got the Bears at the Panthers. This is all Sunday. There's no Thursday game. That was the Bills game. That was switched, obviously. Bears at Panthers. In case you missed it, Monday I did, hey, buddy, sit up, stand down. We're sitting up on the Panthers, man. Matt Rhule, 3-2, looking good. But the Bears, tough big win, I should say, against the Buccaneers, on last Thursday. And now they have a chance to go 5-1 at the Panthers. Bengals at Colts. I like the way Joe Burrow's playing, but not good enough here to go to beat a Colts team that's really good on defense and was not very good against the Browns. They'll regroup. They should be able to take care of the Bengals there. Lions at Jags. Is anybody watching this game? Patricia against Marone. These are two teams that are going to be near the bottom of the NFL most of the year. After a nice win week one, the Jags have lost 4 in a row. Lions should win, but who knows in a game like this. Falcons-Vikings. I mean, is there ever a game where two teams that have the most penchant for finding a way to lose? I guess you have the Chargers in there. Falcons fire their coach. Raheem Morris takes over interim for Dan Quinn. Vikings should have won that game against the Seahawks. They didn't. We'll see how the change helps the Falcons or not. Broncos at Patriots in the game that was rescheduled from last week. Broncos at Patriots. Broncos dealing with a lot of injuries. Patriots hope maybe getting Cam Newton back. We'll see. That's a 1 o'clock game on Sunday. Washington football team at the Giants. Boy, the Giants, they looked better against the Cowboys, but still not good enough. They just don't have enough firepower. Daniel Jones has not taken that step. A lot of people thought he would, although he played a little better last week, obviously. We'll see where it goes with Washington, who is not going to be a very good team all year. Neither one will. This is a combined 1-9 record between these two teams. Ravens at Eagles. Got to like the Ravens in this one, but I do think the Eagles are still a better team than what their record is showing and can hang in games. They're just... maybe not. I don't know. Their defense was not good last week against the Steelers. But the Ravens seem to have a little bit of crack in the armor right now on offense. We'll see if they can turn it around. Lamar Jackson, they're still 4-1, though. Speaking of the Steelers, big game next Sunday. The 1 o'clock window, maybe the biggest game in the 1 o'clock window next week, is the Browns at the Steelers. Browns are looking really good on offense. Steelers looking good both on offense and defense. We'll see where this one goes. The Browns lead the AFC. I have to check on the NFL. I don't think so. Entire AFC in points scored per game on the season. Big game there, 1 o'clock window, Browns at Steelers. Texans at Titans. Can the Titans get their first loss after staying undefeated by beating the Bills last night? I'm not sure. Probably, but the Texans still have talent. They made a coaching change. It worked out for them in game number one. Texans at Titans in the 1 o'clock window. Jets, what a mess they are. I had to break the news last night during the Bills radio broadcast that Le'Veon Bell was released. And when I said it, Murph said, I thought you were going to break news that they fired their coach. That's where we are right now with this team. They have to play at Miami. It's a rescheduled game from everything that went on. Dolphins are looking good with Fitzpatrick. The Dolphins could be 3-3 after next week.
Last minute of play in the show.
Jets are not a good team. Packers at Buccaneers. Big time game. 4:25 window. Rodgers against Brady. That's a good matchup right there. That's probably the one that most of you are going to want to watch during the late window on Sunday. Packers at Buccaneers. Rams at 49ers. Boy, 49ers just don't look like the team we thought they would after last week's debacle against the Dolphins. Rams are still getting together. Bills beat a good Rams team. Almost lost that game, but they did beat them. 4-1 for the Rams. And then, of course, Monday. It's the late game is the Cardinals and the Cowboys. But before that, it's Chiefs and Bills. And it's right here on WGR, on the Bills Radio Network, and right here on WGR is One Bills Live. Up next, Chris Brown and Steve Tasker, 3 o'clock, Shope and the Bulldog. Eric Wood will join them at 5:30. We'll hear from Sean McDermott at 4 o'clock, as well as Brian Daboll and Leslie Frazier today on I guess I'll call it Buffalo Football Wednesday. Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Show today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.